This morning we have the privilege of overhearing an intimate conversation between Paul and Timothy. This is more than advice from a retiring pastor to the new person. This is what a father wants a child to hear. In the scriptures, Paul refers to or addresses Timothy as my co-worker in the Lord, my beloved son, my loyal and faithful child, my brother. What Paul is telling Timothy here, and what we have the privilege of overhearing, is what a dad wants to tell a son and or daughter. A son or daughter whom he's mentored and coached, loved, and whom now he's passing on the ministry. This is what dad wants to tell his successor. So let's cup our hand over our ear and lean in and do some spiritual eavesdropping. Chapter 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 16. If you put these instructions before the brothers and sisters, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, nourished on the words of faith and of sound teaching that you have followed. Have nothing to do with profane myths or old wives' tales. Train yourself in godliness. For while physical training is of some value, godliness is valuable in every way, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance. For to this end we toil and struggle, because we have our hope on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially those who believe. These are the things that you must insist on and teach. Let no one despise your youth. But set the believers an example in speech and conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Until I arrive, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhorting, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you through prophecy, with the laying on of hands by the council of elders. Put these things into practice. Devote yourself to them, so that all may see your progress. Pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Continue in these things, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and your hearers. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Timothy and Paul have known each other forever. It's more than likely that Paul came over to Mom Eunice's house and they ate supper together when Timothy was just a young person. And just think about, talking about eavesdropping, just think what Timothy's sitting on the steps listening to when Eunice and Grandma Lois and Paul are in the living room over a cup of tea talking about Jesus Christ. Timothy has had the word in his life, his whole life. He's been fed and nourished, made strong by Bible teaching and fellowship and the breaking of the bread, just like us. We have the Bible. You have read and heard and studied the same scriptures as Timothy. Think of that. You hang and visit with other Christians. We have communion every week, the breaking of the bread and the pouring of the cup. In a crisis moment of Jesus' earthly ministry, he turns to the apostles and he asks them, are you going to leave? Are you going to leave? And Peter answers, the apostle Peter answers for all of us, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. This is where Paul begins his advice to young Timothy today, telling him what he needs to hear, the words of eternal life. He says, pay close attention to the words of life. Pay close attention to the scriptures that you have been taught. Pay close attention to the teachings of those who have taught you in the word. And he gets very graphic here. He says, don't listen to all the baloney that's out there. And there's a lot of it. Don't listen to it. Have nothing to do with myths or wives' tale. Frankly, he says, run away from the BS. Run away from it. Be discerning. God has given you a brain. Use it. Filter out the phony. Listen to the words of life, the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, we can discern the baloney from the words of eternal life because the baloney is always self-serving. It's always about itself. Those who profess this stuff only look to their own interests, only look to their own profits. How can I profit from this? They are looking only at their own interests. It's stagnant, and ultimately, it's deadly to our faith. The Word of God, rightly read and preached and heard, are the words of eternal life. It is edifying. What a great word, edifying. I was proud of that word. Edify. The Word of God instructs. The Word of God seeks to improve us. The Word of God seeks to move us forward in our relationship with Jesus Christ and with each other. These are the words of eternal life. Stick close to the Bible. I'm not saying anything new here. I'm not saying anything profound. Stick close to the Bible. And you stick close to the Bible, stick close to the Lord, stick close to the people of God by working at it. Train yourself in godliness, Paul tells Timothy, and he's telling us, train yourself, work at it. The Broncos right now are sweating through training camp, aren't they? And they're doing repetition after repetition after repetition practice. So when the situation comes up in the game, it's not new to them. There's nothing new to them. They already know what to do, already know how to handle the tough situations. I just finished a great book about the Apollo NASA moon landing program. It was so cool. We all know about the troubles that Apollo 13 had. We all know that. But I just found out reading this book that every Apollo mission had major, major problems. And NASA knew what to do each time without hesitation because they were in simulators for months and months and months and they trained and trained and trained. This is really cool, interesting. Had they not been so well prepared and trained and done repetition after repetition, they could very well have aborted Neil Armstrong's moon landing just before he landed the Eagle. Wow. Paul tells Timothy in 4:10, this ministry, this faith, this living into Jesus Christ, it's a struggle. Another great word, it's toil. It is darned hard work is what it is. We live into the hope of the living God by working at it. No free passes. We practice. We do reps over and over. And it isn't always easy. When I began seminary, I really did have this picture in my head that this faith thing was a cakewalk. This is easy. I'm in seminary now. I'm going to be walking around with my hands folded, speaking in a Father Mulcahy's gentle voice 24/7. And it's going to be easy. I get into seminary and I get into ministry. And this living into this God thing, this living into this work is work, work, work. We need to work at the Bible. Need to work at studying the Bible. We work at theology. We work at taking care of each other. We work at how the church does things. We work and work and work together. From the day I began the seminary, this ministry thing, living into the hope of God, has been toil. It's been awesome. But it's work. And I make it look so easy, don't I? It takes training. It takes repetition every day, every week, every day. We all have to work at the Bible. We all have to pick up our Bibles and read them. We all have to do that. We all have to theologize. Think of God, who God is in our life, who Jesus, again, another great word, Christologize. We all have to think about who Christ is, who Jesus is in our lives. We need to visit with people about it. We need to talk about it. And Paul tells his spiritual son, and he tells us, hard work, the struggles, even the persecutions, they are so worth it. They are so worth it. We live in the hope of Jesus Christ, and I can and want to do all things through Christ who gives me strength. We not only survive the struggles, we thrive. We thrive by working hard at it. I want to come to church. I do come to church every week. Even if I wasn't paid to, I might. But I come to church every week to hear the Bible read and proclaimed, to pray, to sing awesome songs together, to feel good about myself, my church community, and my future. And I do. I really do. I walk away from ministry, from this worship every week, bouncing to some song all week long. Remember, we are the people of God. We are the people of God. We are God's beloved. You are God's beloved. You are constantly loved. You are unconditionally cherished. And you are saved forever. Second, amen?
Amen.
Amen. But if we don't work at it, if we don't train ourselves up, if we don't prepare for the toil, we'll be like that seed that falls on shallow ground that withers and dies. We must always be in training. And today, Paul lays out for us our workout program, our training table, and our mental management so that we can all be gold medalist Christians. Here's what you got to do. Whether you're old or young or anywhere in between, and we don't have any age requirements or when you can begin or age limits when this all ends. There's no theme park cartoon bear holding an arm out to see if we're big enough to do this. Because we're all big enough to do this. This wild, wild ride. And we never age out either. Paul tells us, here's what I want you to do at every stage of life, and you can do this. It begins and ends with you, and you can do this. Quote, set the believers an example in speech and conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Be yourself in Christ. Be the person that Christ has made you to be. Now, in the first and second drafts of this sermon, I tried to outdo Paul. Paul says, love, work at faith, be pure. That means live a good life. Me, I decided to tell you how to do it. I had 27 ways you can love, 11 ways to nurture your faith, and 14 ways to live out purity, to live a good life. You would have been amazed at my insight. Come see me afterwards and I'll share it with you. No, I won't. The Apostle Paul's wisdom is sufficient for us, though. It is wrapped up in one simple sentence. Give attention to the public reading of scriptures, to exhorting, to teaching. What we need, we're going to find in the Bible. Stick close to the scriptures. Consistently read the Bible at home. Read the Bible. Think about it. Ponder it. Don't just think about it. Ponder it. What does that mean? Discuss these Bible teachings with other people around you. It's okay to randomly say, hey, you know what I read in Ephesians 3? What do you think about this? It's okay to do that. Live a Bible life. That means following the examples of Bible people. How about being as self-giving as Ruth, courageous Joshua, grouchy Elijah, impetuous Peter, loving John the Apostle, fiery John the Baptist, and faithful Mary. Get to know the teachings. Read the Sermon on the Mount over and over again. Get to know it. And all those great Bible stories, those parables, those stories we learned as kids, reread them. You know, we learned Noah's Ark on a flannel board or on PowerPoint. But now read them again as an adult. Read them from a grown-up perspective. And you know, as a grown-up, we're allowed to do, actually we're allowed to do from any age. We can argue with the scriptures. We can question the scriptures. We can tussle with them. Because that all gives us insight to Jesus Christ. As you read the Bible, you do find the words of eternal life and learn what God is reminding you to know. Paul reminds Timothy here that he has been given special gifts. You have been given special gifts, he says to them. And he says to us, and I say to you, because I know you, the Lord Jesus Christ has given each and every individual gifts in this sanctuary and in our church family, and has given our church family, another good word, bestowed upon our church family, abundant gifts. And don't downplay them. Claim them. Be who you are in Jesus Christ. You know, you don't walk around, No, say, yeah, I did this. You don't say anything, just do it. Work at them. Work at those gifts. Play to those gifts. Nurture those gifts. You can do this. When I was a kid, my mom was in politics in the city of Cleveland. Yikes. It was great fun, though. It was great fun. I remember the mayor, though, his re-election campaign. He said, he was telling us about how to campaign. He said, don't go to those places that I'm weak. We don't have the vote there. Don't go there. Where I want you to go and campaign the hardest is those places that we are strong. Nurture those people. Nurture what's going on in their neighborhood. And then get the vote out. Get them out to vote. Nurture our strengths. Play to our strengths. We can't worry about as a church or as individuals about who we aren't. Or what we don't have. As a church, and as individual and as people, each of you people, you are abundantly gifted in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. As Paul told Timothy, put these wonderful gifts into practice. Devote yourself to them. Pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Continue in these things, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and your hearers. We are a great church. That needs an amen. We are a great church. Amen. I am a child of God. I am a child of God. And together, there ain't no stopping us. Ain't no stopping us when we focus on what God has given and when we work at it. And we are assiduous. That's a great word, isn't it, Rebecca? Assiduous. We are assiduous. Another great word. Caring, loving, persevering. In the toil, keep practicing. There's no room for slacking off. We can't let ourselves be diverted from the Lord Jesus Christ. Kimmer? How do you get to Carnegie Hall?
Practice, practice, practice.
How do you get to Carnegie Hall? Practice, practice, practice. That's our charge for the day. We keep practicing. We don't slack off. We are assiduous. We don't let ourselves be diverted from Christ, for he has the words of eternal life. Them old wives' tales, those silly stories that get dressed up as religion, they try to turn us in the wrong direction. But they don't. They don't. We can grow our faith by working at it. This way we model the faith for others. Now here's where I said you can struggle with scriptures. Here's where I'm struggling with Paul. He says to Timothy, by doing this, you'll save both yourself and your hearers. I can't save nobody. I don't have that power. But I can, with the Lord's help, model what it means to work at this faith and to be a faith-filled person. And then get out of the way and let Christ do the saving. Love others. Feed your faith. Practice. Amen.